If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. I want you to put a finger there and turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I want to draw my text from a portion of a verse in Job. You confused yet? You're getting there. At least he's honest. You don't have to turn to Job. It's just a very small portion, just a portion of a verse. And I'm only doing it because of the context of the message and the words that are given from Eliphaz in Job. The words of Eliphaz in Job are these: thou shalt be hid. Anybody finish that verse? Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. A little strange of message for a Sunday morning, but I want to look at the subject and maybe be a little more broad than what I ought to be, the scourge of the tongue. Don't know that I'm the one to preach such a message, because it seems as though the reverse gear is used more because of my tongue than anything. There's some grins and some nods this morning. Maybe you're acknowledging my fault, or maybe you're acknowledging yours as well. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Ask the Lord for his touch in this part of the service. Our Father, we need your touch this morning. As we open up your word, I pray that you would open it up to us. I pray that you would reveal us to ourselves. I pray that you would speak to us. Pray that you would help us with your anointing this morning, both as speaker and as hearer, each one of us in our respective places. I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. I am grateful for verse 1. It is impossible that offenses will come, or it is impossible but that offenses will come. That's a little bit of consolation. But then he snips it off when he said, but woe unto them, or oh, woe unto him through whom they come. We jump over to James chapter 3, and you probably already know what portion of scripture is going to be read there out of that chapter. Verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Boy, here's that word again, offense and offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they were so great, or though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue. What a comparison. A bit in a horse's mouth, the helm of a great ship, and then the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fiery world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Powerful verses there. If it were preached in a Holiness church today, those words, we would say that he was too harsh and he was too hard. But there it is, read in a Holiness church, and we must accept it as the truth because it is God's word. A lot of things can be said about the tongue. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks about the tongue. If you have an electronic equipment, you can type in your Bible portion of that and just type in the word tongue, and I believe that in the King James it'll come up 126 times. Some of those, it's speaking about unknown tongues in the New Testament. Some of those in the Old Testament, he's talking about languages. But then if we take out all of those, speaking of unknown tongues or of languages, either one, speaking about languages, either side, if we take all of those out and just look at those verses that talk about the tongue as a speaking tool of words, using words, we would find many different ways to use our tongue and words that slip off of our tongue. Perhaps the greatest use of the word tongue, outside of these ones that mean languages, speaks about a deceitful tongue or a lying tongue. That seems to be the one that is over and over again. Jeremiah calls a deceitful tongue deadly arrows. They must be pointed, they must be sharp. Deceitful or a lying tongue is one that goes to the heart. Deadly arrows. Not only do we find the word tongue, but we also might find the word lips in the same context as the tongue. So that even takes it up even higher. Using that as the same thought or the same idea. And again, we can see deceitful lips or deceitful tongue or lying lips or a lying tongue. You'll find in Scripture the word mischievous used in the same sentence with a tongue, as though the tongue can do some mischief. You look at some of these little lads around here that run around and you look into their eye and you can see mischief. Sometimes you can look in somebody's picture and see mischief. Suppose that if you look in a picture of me when I was 2 years old, you might say that there's more than mischief there. Something about little boys and mischief. I don't think that the Scripture, though, is talking about that kind of mischief. I think that mischief in the Scripture is talking about some kind of a deceit, something that is sinful, something that is cutting to somebody, harmful to somebody else. We'll also find the word perverse, a perverse tongue. Sometimes we find the word backbiting, a backbiting tongue. Then there's times that in our effort to avoid these negative things about a tongue, we go to the extreme. And so we try to use sweetness and honey, you know, all that nice stuff, and really what it boils down to is that it becomes a flattering tongue. Something that's not really true, something that's not really real, but we will use it to flatter for whatever reason, for personal gain, trying to cover up something else, who knows what our reasoning might be. Let's take a moment this morning and look at some various passages that in the Psalms and the Proverbs that talk about the tongue. Psalm 15:3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil in his to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. See, there's a context of not doing things, not backbiting with the tongue. You flip back a few more chapters there in Psalms and go to 34:13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. It's good admonition from the psalmist. Go over to the next one, 35:28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. See, not only can the tongue be used for negative things, the tongue can be used for positive things. We can find it there. The scripture talks to us about a wise tongue. The scripture will talk to us about a gentle tongue, a righteous tongue, a soft tongue, a tongue of kindness, a tongue of rejoicing, or a confessing tongue. There's a lot of good things that the tongue can do. Psalm 39, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalm 52, verse 2. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor. Have you ever been cut by somebody's tongue? You don't have to be that honest this morning to raise your hand, but I suppose that a large number of people here this morning have been cut by somebody's tongue. And while the person that is being cut by the tongue feels like it was probably done on purpose, the person that did the cutting may not realize that they did anything damaging to the other person. And again, the person that was cut by the tongue would say, how can they not know how damaging that was to me? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. There's tongue that can be used for good or bad. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The scourge of the tongue. What does it mean to be scourged? The Bible gives us different references, different passages of what it means to be scourged. Jesus was scourged right before his crucifixion. We understand from the passages of Jesus' scourging how truly devastating and how painful, how excruciating the pain is from a scourging. So much so, we realize that his visage was marred beyond recognition. In other words, it destroyed all appearance of who he was. It was torture. It was punishment. But it was cruel. We understand that the Roman scourge consisted of two types of beating. One was with a rod or with a thick board, which when that was used, the person was damaged, was not an external damage, but an internal damage. Bones may have been broken. Flesh was bruised and blood vessels were broken. Another type of the Roman scourge was that of the whip. Whip that we might think not necessarily an ordinary type of a whip. Roman whip that was used in scourging was a whip with metal that was bound into the end so that when it was ripped across flesh, it didn't leave just simple red welts, but it tore at the flesh and removed flesh, cutting deeply into flesh. Sometimes when we use our words deliberately to hurt somebody, it's an outward cutting. Sometimes when we are not careful with our words, though, when we don't realize the damage that we are doing, it's an internal scourge. Scripture says that a person that is wise boy, how often do we have to stand back? How often do I have to stand back and recognize my lack of wisdom? Offenses do come, but woe unto the person from whence they come. It is better for a person who has offended or who will offend one of the little ones, the least of these, my brethren, the smallest ones, or the most insignificant, or whoever it may be, that person would have been better off to have hanged a millstone about their head and be cast into the sea. Perhaps the worst tongue that we notice, that, as I mentioned, that Scripture bears out, is the lying tongue or the deceitful tongue, one that changes reality, twists truth, changes facts. The tongue that deviseth mischief is like a sharp razor. Adam Clark said that lies and slanders proceeding from the tongue argue the desperate wickedness of the heart, like a sharp razor working deceitfully, which instead of taking off the beard, cuts the wound and wounds the flesh. Or as the operator, who when pretending to trim the beard, cuts the throat, which pretending to be a friend, only to cut up, destroy, and have for Sunday dinner. Wow. We don't necessarily have to twist the truth to the point that it's complete falsehood, but we can darken things to the point where we hurt somebody because of that darkened truth. We can change things to the point where it affects somebody's spirit because of the tongue changing something or twisting just a little bit. Scripture speaks about the cursing tongue, the vile tongue, the tongue that takes God's name in vain. We could even talk some about the taking God's name in slang. James goes on in the chapter that I read, that the same tongue, we bless God and we curse men. He said these things shouldn't be. The cursing tongue is a vile tongue, an obscene tongue. Then there's another kind of tongue that isn't really referenced in this language in Scripture, but it's the reality of we find it as we look at Scripture and we understand what God is saying about the tongue, and that would be the scolding tongue. So there's nothing wrong with scolding, is there? Scalding, scorching, cutting, creating a martyr out of somebody because of our words. The scourging of the tongue can come from various sources and various ways and places, means. Churches have been destroyed because of the tongue. Churches are hindered, if not destroyed, because of the tongue. Churches have been divided because of the tongue. Fighting takes place because of something that was said. A fuss started. Somebody's collar was chewed on. The tongue became a probe, an ox goad, something that affected somebody to the point that they were hurt, they were damaged. just like lightning will strike a tree and wither that tree, so does the strike of the tongue wither the person. Perhaps there's no more evil that is more dreadful than the scourge of the tongue in evil speaking or in backbiting or slander or talebearing, whispering, scandalizing. Those are some of the terms that we would use endeavoring to express the horrible influence of the tongue or the effects of that member, that little bitty member that is likened unto a bit in a horse's mouth or the helm of a great ship. James also likens it to a world of fire. Just a small match, how great a fire it can kindle, how big of a destructive force it can become. The scourge of the tongue. One of the quickest ways that we can hurt somebody is in their attempt to do the best that they can. There's a fine line here for us parents when talking about our children, because we ought to be pressing our children to perform to the very best of their ability and to encourage them or press them to increase that ability. We as parents. But so often we find in church realms that when somebody tries to do their best in something, that somebody else has the courage to come to that person, whether they be young or middle-aged or wherever they are in their age bracket, and they're trying to do their best. I'm talking about their best. And then there's a snide remark. That'll destroy a young person faster than anything. It will. My oldest brother remembers and recalls and just shared with me again the last time that I saw him in July. An incident that took place. And he holds it, still holds it today. What's it been? 30 years, 35 years ago? Probably 35 years ago. Still holds it today. Remembers it keenly today, the cutting. And it really wasn't all that bad. It's just that he did the very best that he thought that he could do. But because of some negative, if you can't say something good, then don't say it. Especially to a young person that's trying. I'm not talking about parents that are trying to get their children to press for excellence. I'm not talking about that. Although it can cross over into that as well. Parents, we have to be careful. I know I have to be careful. I've already admitted my fault. You don't have to preach at me about it. I understand that my biggest fault, you have your faults, you have your battles. My weakness is not in a lot of the things that people face in temptation. My weakness is right here. Thank you for being so kind and not saying amen. Ridicule comes from sometimes not just a blatant put down, but ridicule can come from snide remarks or a chiding remark. It may not be a blatant making fun of, but it's a simple stuff that can discourage a person. So many times young people in church settings do something and it's a mistake. You know, they sing and they make a mistake, or they're taking up the offering and they trip and drop the offering plate. You know, how embarrassing is that, especially when everybody roars with laughter? Sure, it's funny. But then when we put ourselves in those shoes of that person, then we seem to realize that it's not as funny, but it's hard to pull the laugh back. But we do need to be aware that what we're doing can be affecting that child, that person. That's why some of you don't want to get up front at all, because of something that happened. Or the fear of something happening. When we've done our best, when they have done their best, sometimes I think that some people don't do their best, huh? You know, they just prepare for teaching Sunday school class 5 minutes before Sunday school starts. And well, I may have a question about whether or not they did their best, you know? The deceitfulness of the tongue, the razor edge of the tongue. And again, folks, this morning, sometimes we don't even realize, because we're not paying attention to how it is being taken on the other side. Now, what we can pray for ourselves is that we would be hid from the scourge of the tongue. And may God grant that to us, because offenses will come. I read an article this week that Sarah Palin needs to develop thicker skin. I mean, she's been beat up on all sides, I guess. Whatever. Thicker skin. Well, you see, we can criticize anybody we want to about anything we want to, and we can have some sort of justification for it. Thicker skin isn't necessarily what we need. What we need is the Holy Spirit to help us to be shielded or to be hid from the scourge. Because the scourge, the tongue, is going to come. For you and I that are being cut by the tongue, if we are in that position, then let's pray and ask God to hide us from the effects of that scourge. Pray that God would protect us from the harmfulness of that scourge. And God can give us grace above the effects. Oh, sure, it may change us in ways that we don't see, the ways that are so subtle we don't understand. But it doesn't have to kill us. God's grace is a balm for us, to us. But on the other hand, woe to him from whom the offenses come. That goes to all of us as well. You say, well, I've been serving the Lord now for how many years, and I have perfected my tongue. We better take notice. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, but the tongue can no man tame. You see, is there no possibility that we can get to the point? I'm talking about maturity can develop within us a carefulness, and it should, and it ought to. But on the other hand, sometimes the more mature we become, the more free we become with our words. You've heard me mention the name Jim Burris before. There was an individual in Evansville that it was said that Jim Burris was the only one that person would take rebuke off of. And I found that probably very, very true. Very, very true. And so I was in the shadows egging him on. Go get that person. Go get him. Go, go, go. Come on, why don't you go and deal with that? Why don't you tell him about that? Well, the thing was, as I look back on it now, the man had enough wisdom to understand that even though he was the only one that could rebuke that person or deal with that person, there's still lines of wisdom that are drawn. And so I had to stand back now and even look at his memory and realize how much greater he was than what I may have realized even then. because of the wise tongue, didn't always speak the word that would surely bring that person to their knees. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. For those of you that have been cut, pray God's grace be a balm. For those of us that have a tongue, remember, it's a small member, boasteth great things, how great a little fire it can kindle. Let's stand together this morning. Father, I pray that you would take it to our hearts individually. Not only help me to see who I am and the way that I am, but help us each one to see who we are and the way that we are. Not to duck our head and fluff our feathers and shake it off as though it's for somebody else. Pray, Lord, that you would help us each one to realize that every one of us here this morning has this little member. We're asking you, Father, that you would give us anointing to go from this place, realizing that it's only by your grace that we can survive from the cutting, and it's only by your grace that we can prevent cutting, because we within ourselves cannot tame our tongue. We ask for your grace. We ask for your help. Bless us, I pray, through this day. Give us of your presence. Give us a good day in Jesus, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.